The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Keep getting us your reaction to Giannis saying he will play for Greece in the play-in tournament the first week of July. I believe it's July 2nd through the 7th. Let us know if you think he should sit out and get healthy, stay healthy, help himself be healthy throughout the regular season for the Milwaukee Bucks. I want to pivot to the Packers because there was some talk of Jordan Love again this weekend. And I don't even think that Jordan Love was the impetus. I don't even think that was like the flashpoint for this conversation. I don't think Jordan Love was what Mike Tannenbaum was asked about when he had this conversation on the Rich Eisen show. But Mike Tannenbaum going to saddle up to, going to connect with, going to ride with Jordan Love. Take a listen to what Mike Tannenbaum had to say about what he thinks Jordan Love can do in the NFL.
If I said you can have Jordan Love for the next 5 years, or Trevor Lawrence the next 5 years?
Well, that's easy for me. It's Jordan Love. I'll put it to you this way, Dan.
That's easy. That's not easy.
It's easy. Dan, if we were drafting NFL players, I think you and I would agree we'd take Patrick Mahomes number one. I'm taking Jordan Love number two. I've really been thinking about this a lot. Like, who would you take before Jordan Love in terms of youth, ability, and I think his future is limitless.
That from the Dan Patrick Show, not the Rich Eisen Show.
My bad.
You're good.
old white guys.
former ESPN Sports Center writers.
There's some more names that should be on that list. I just can't come off of the nine games yet, you know? I mean, Jalen Hurts, very close to winning an MVP in Philly. Joe Burrow, we know how good he is. Allen with Buffalo. Am I missing anyone? And they're all around his age, C.J. Stroud. But still, I'm not all in on him.
No.
I'm not all in on him. I would take Jordan Love right now over C.J. Stroud. But I don't know about, you know, Herbert in Los Angeles. So I think it's a little too premature to put him at two.
Is he just saying it because of the youth? Because the ceiling seems to be so high? The trajectory seems to be headed up. I mean, some of these guys, the book is out on, right? Like, we know who Kirk Cousins is, right?
Yes.
So it's not sitting here going, well, Kirk Cousins could have a, you know, MVP caliber season, and we would pick him over Jordan Love. To me, it seems like because Jordan Love is not young, like rookie, even though obviously last year was his first year, he has that time behind Aaron Rodgers that he learned in the league, matured, evolved, etc. Feels like he's at this nice spot of still young enough that he could really, really grow, but also has enough behind him that you don't worry about him making rookie mistakes or making bad decisions or some of those things that you saw at the beginning of the season. Is that where we are right now, Joshy?
Yeah. To me, Mike Tannenbaum is making a futures bet here,
yes,
and he's getting really good odds on it. Like, it's hard to compare really any of those guys that you would mention in the conversation other than Patrick Mahomes with a nine-game stretch that was as good as it was for Jordan Love.
Yeah, but do we not give Lamar with Baltimore enough credit? I mean, the guy's won two MVPs.
Probably not.
I think it has a lot to do with his lack of performance in the playoffs multiple times, where we've seen him be favored in situations that they can't pull out of. Now, when you're talking about guys to win your Super Bowls, there's sort of that intangible thing. Because as Patrick Mahomes is like, you know, the best you can see at the quarterback, sometimes he just takes over games. Does Jordan Love have that same factor? Is Tannenbaum factoring that in here where there seems to be some? Because, like, I think a lot of people are stuck also in thinking Jordan Love is a rookie or was a rookie, even though we all know.
Sure.
Like, he's not particularly young. He's certainly younger, but it's not the youngest guy in the NFL.
No, like, I would call Purdy young.
Yes.
Right?
Again, so
I mean, where are we putting him?
So here's what I'm trying, what I think the argument I'm trying to nail down is. We all know that Mahomes is number one.
Correct.
But there should be a portion of the population that picks Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen as the number two. But then it feels like the people who do end up picking Jordan Love or CJ Stroud or something, like you said, Joshy, are looking towards long term. Like Jordan Love ostensibly will be playing longer in the league from this point on than Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen has already chewed up a fraction of his time in the league in the past. Is Josh Allen's turnover propensity keeping people from saying he's the number two guy in the league? Because just from a physicality standpoint, you know that he has something that Jordan Love doesn't have, at least at this point, yeah. Right?
I think what a big factor, too, is the unknowns of Jordan Love. We've seen a lot of those guys
Josh Allen.
Make it and fail
a
in
lot
like
of Lamar Jackson.
Giant ways, where Jordan Love took a team no one expected to be there. So the unknown here, while Chewy will tell you it's only 9 games, you don't know what's going to come after it, Mike Tannenbaum's flipped that and kind of used it to his advantage. I don't know what's coming next, but I can write a story where this is better than anyone can imagine.
I mean, him and Joe Burrow are the same age. Who are you taking? You taking Joe Burrow? Injuries, or are you
the
taking
injuries? The Joe Burrow injuries really skeeve me out a little bit too.
Okay.
Again, he could go out there and again have an MVP caliber season, and I'd be like, okay, he's good. But right now, it's just this big like albatross. It's this big anchor hanging around the Joe Burrow neck for me.
Yeah. I don't think you can put him at 2. I just don't. Not yet. Maybe halfway into the season, I'd change my mind. But right now, because we've seen so many quarterbacks, and I don't think this is going to happen, but Carson Wentz has a almost MVP type season. A lot of the guys have had it, and then they kind of fall off the map. So I got to wait a little bit. I think he's in top 10. Maybe top 7, but I wouldn't put him at number 2.
There's a gulf between 7 and 2, though.
Yeah, because you could argue really only like 4 or 5 quarterbacks matter.
Right now, there's more than that.
Well, right now, we feel like there is, but the Justin Herbert thing.
That's a great point.
That's going to have to come up. At some point. You do something or you don't. Trevor Lawrence, you do something or you don't.
Are we just strictly talking about, and this is what I always wonder when people make these rankings, are we just strictly talking about the quarterback package by himself, or is it an extension of the weapons around it?
I think
it's an extension
by himself.
And so you think that's what Tannenbaum is making this decision on? Because
I think so.
Head-to-head, Justin Herbert, what we have seen from him, looks like he's more talented than Jordan Love. That's not an indictment of Jordan Love, but I would take Justin Herbert right now. Talent, again, I know everybody's going to point to the playoffs and the success of the team, but if we're just talking about talent, I think Herbert has shown more elite play than Jordan Love has.
My takeaway from what he said is he was saying taking Jordan Love to build a team around.
Yes.
That's how I looked at it. But I'm with you on Herbert. What have you done for me lately?
And Brock Purdy, I know you guys mentioned.
Kind of Trevor Lawrence, the same kind of feel. But I mean, I think we look at this totally different if they lose to Dallas in the playoffs.
I think that's fair.
I think we look at it totally different.
But again, how do we keep negating it? I know we talked about Lamar, and I know we talked about Josh Allen, and I know we talked about Justin Herbert. How do we keep negating Jalen Hurts, which you mentioned early in this conversation? How do we keep throwing out what Jalen Hurts has done? Is it more he's a product of the pieces around him?
He just plays a different style. I mean, they run him a lot, which I don't know if it's smart. See, Allen's in Buffalo. That's a decision he's deciding to run. I think they used Lamar a little differently, and he did take a step back last year. He's another guy who took a step back. So I just think we look at it totally differently if they lose to Dallas, even if it's in a close one, if it's a shootout. I think the fact that they got so far when they weren't supposed to be very good gives people a lot of promise, which it should.
And Justin reminding us that he did this with the youngest pass-catching room since the 2016 Browns bumps Jordan Love up. He could still go higher. I think the point that Josh, you made about a futures bet is probably where Tannenbaum is sitting right now.
Yeah, and the thing with it is the futures bet, if Pottle was to offer this future bet, Jordan Love wouldn't have the second-best odds. Like, Tannenbaum is going out on a limb here because Lamar's going to play 5 more years. Now, is it just 5? But if you put it in the vacuum of 5 years, you could make a case that there's 5 guys that would have a better case to be that second overall option. Tannenbaum is benefiting from kind of the unknowns. And a guy who came onto the scene in a way no one really expected. Like, the Packers way overperformed, and we can't discount Jordan Love's play being a large reason why.
Let's put it on the Jen Game and Chewy Twitter poll. Mike Tannenbaum says he would take Jordan Love number two as the quarterbacks in the NFL go right now behind Patrick Mahomes. Would you? Or would you put Justin Herbert or Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen? Are we missing anybody else, or are those the three candidates that we would put up against Jordan Love right now, guys? CJ Stroud looked fantastic. Could look fantastic this year as well. I don't think people are putting him above Herbert, Allen, Love, Hurts.
But he's still, I mean, I'm not all in. Like I said, I got to see what he does this year, much like
Jordan
Love. You know?
So who of those guys that we just mentioned, Chu, would you take as number two?
I mean, I really like Burrow. I get the injury.
Should we put Burrow on the list too? We only got four slots, so maybe we put if
put it
not
this way,
Love.
I like Burrow more than I like Allen.
Okay. Why?
Allen has kind of a feel of Herbert.
What like, don't you like about Allen?
He can't win the big game. Right? I mean, he can't beat Kansas City. They were close.
But they were fluky, too, right? Remember when he didn't even get back out on the field? Like, obviously, they changed the rules so that wouldn't happen again. But that was fluky. But if we're just looking at quarterback talent, him not winning the big game, we can't just put solely on his shoulders, right?
No. But we're projecting on who we're building a team around. I think I might take Jordan Love over Allen in Buffalo. I just don't like his style. You know, we were talking about it with Giannis. You talk about a guy that's got to change the way he plays. He does. He's very reckless out there. And the older you get, you know, you're going to get beat up. Trevor Lawrence. I like Trevor Lawrence. That would be a tough one for me.
The tough thing with Trevor Lawrence, if you look at his numbers and you start to stack them up historically, they're not looking good. A lot of turnovers for that guy.
Yeah, but I think Green Bay's, and I know this isn't part of the deal, but I think what's surrounding Love in Green Bay is a lot better than what's surrounding Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, the coaching thing's the biggest one. When you look at skill position, they got talent. They're not
as much as Green Bay?
Probably not, but those were all rookies last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like no one going into the season had Jordan Love's supporting cast above the Jaguars.
Oh, God, no. They probably do this year, though. Because once they work, don't they rank skill positions?
They do.
The closer we get to training camp, and they were like 31st.
Yeah, they were low.
I would think they're going to be a lot higher this year.
Look, all in all, it's a good thing when a guy like Mike Tannenbaum is throwing Jordan Love's name out there, right? These guys don't attach their reputations to these guys just willy-nilly. Now, again, you could argue that they never make corrections when they're wrong on these things, but still, it is great to have, and I think what is striking fear into the hearts of many NFL fans who are not Green Bay Packers fans is that the Packers may have done it again, in fact, may have gotten that, you know, future Hall of Fame quarterback under center. Now, that is a lot of hyperbole right now at this stage since he hasn't played an entire season well. But these types of guys who make their living breaking down film and watching these players saying that Jordan Love is in the upper echelon of quarterbacks in the league right now, that's a great thing for Green Bay fans. We're just trying to figure out if he's drinking the Kool-Aid a little too much.
Probably a little bit. I mean, what are we going to be saying about Williams next year with the Bears?
Your guess is as good as mine.
You know, I mean, there's four quarterbacks go in the top, whatever. Two of them will be decent. Two of them will stink. Too early. Way too early.
800-990-3776. We are fashioning a poll on this Mike Tannenbaum situation. Mike Tannenbaum says he would take Jordan Love second behind Patrick Mahomes right now in the NFL. Is he right? Is he right about Jordan Love? Is he prognosticating accurately about the future of Jordan Love versus all of the other QBs who are in the league? The Herberts, the Allens. Who was the other one we threw on the list?
Burrow.
You love Burrow, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who are we putting on this poll here. I got Jordan Love, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson.
Lamar
Justin
Jackson
Herbert.
Should be on there.
How
Justin
old is
Herbert
Jackson?
Maybe
though?
Take Love off the list
uh-huh.
and say who else or who, you know what I'm saying? Like, we assume that Packers fans believe that Jordan Love is the second best quarterback in the league. That's what being a fan is all about, right?
Are we sure?
That Packers fans feel that way?
Yeah.
I guess not. You're making me wonder.
I think you'd be surprised by the amount of people. I know we are homers. I think a lot of people look at Josh Allen or Joe Burrow and go,
toads.
I want that guy. Like, I think there's a lot of people who are like, Chewy, I haven't seen enough.
Yeah.
I got a good case to say, hey, maybe.
Well, let me ask you this. Have we seen enough of Purdy?
We've seen a lot of Purdy. Yeah.
You think we've seen enough to know what he is?
I think so, yes.
I agree.
It's pretty unfair, but if he loses one or two of those four incredible skill players because they have four all pros, what does that look like? Is it as good? I don't know. Like, if Juwan Jennings has to play a lot of the season, is it as good? Probably not.
Yeah.
But either would Jordan Love, so...
Alan weighing in on our YouTube page. Remember, you can always watch and stream the show on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page. He says, I don't know. Tannenbaum ain't Ozzie Newsome. If Mike Tannenbaum likes him, I want no part of him. His takes are kinda usually kisses of death. I wondered when somebody would roll out the old, I don't know, if Mike Tannenbaum were really good at his job, wouldn't he still be the general manager of a team? 800-990-3776. Let us know. We'll fashion a poll. We'll figure out how we want to put it up there. But basically, we're asking if you agree with Mike Tannenbaum, who said that Jordan Love is the second best quarterback behind Pat Mahomes right now, if he were building a franchise. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Just jump on it.
That's what he did.
Jump on it. Slow down. On 94.5 ESPN.
Chef Ed weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line saying, right now I would take Lamar, Josh, Burrows, and Herbert over Love. Let's see what he does this season, then ask the question again. John weighing in from the 262 saying, everybody talks about Love's 9 games. Why are we dismissing his performance against the 49ers? He has more games like that. If he has more games like that, he will not be so high on any of these lists.
He played great for 3 quarters.
He did. Just threw the interception at the end of the game. And that wasn't great. And that's a learning curve. And you hope that he will learn from that. And I believe that he will. One of the big rivalries that people will be paying attention to this year, of course, is the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears, because it feels like it's taken on a different level of intensity with the Chicago Bears loading up on talent, beginning at the quarterback position with Caleb Williams. But you guys know I'm a huge fan of Roma Dunze, covered him at Washington. Great kid. Think he will have success. And it will be tough to watch him in a Chicago Bears uniform. But those two guys were out this weekend, and there were some fans who wanted to show those guys just how strongly they feel about the rivalry between the Bears and the Packers. Take a listen.
Hey, sucks.
Now, I want to be clear. Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze were not chanting Green Bay sucks. They were pumping their fists in the air as fans at a local establishment were yelling that to them. I don't really blame them for this, Chew. Fans are yelling Green Bay sucks. What are they going to do? Go, no, they don't. They're great. They've beaten the Bears over and over and over and over again. Like, this is the way that these two young players, these two rookies for that team, are going to continue making a connection with the fan base, right? Like, all's fair in love and war, and this to me feels like just sports. Hashtag sports.
We are so in their head, though, aren't we? I mean, that's hilarious. The first place they go to is Green Bay, which is fine. We own you. As long as Eberflus is there, all right, you'll win your 7-8 games. I'm not really threatened, which is, I mean, if I was in that situation, I would have cleaned house because you know he ain't going to be there long.
Wait. Hey,
I'm talking Eberflus.
I know, but this is the first time I think I've ever heard you say that you don't think Eberflus is a good coach.
I don't. And I think, you know, you talk about it so many times when you talk about quarterbacks. Oh, he's been in 4 different offensive coordinators. It's the Bears. That's fine. you know, we'll get to you in a couple months, have your little fun, and then you'll come back to reality. Like it happens there every single year, because last year they were saying, I think Fields is our guy.
Yeah.
I think he's the guy. I mean, I really like him. And we all know how that worked out, so.
Well, while circumstances are certainly different, when Jordan Love was taking over for Aaron Rodgers, the sentiment was very much the same of, we're going to take the division back. The Green Bay side, we saw these chants last year, I believe. Yeah. It was at Cubs games. They're doing it again this year. Now, they certainly have more ammunition. They have the first overall pick. They have Rome Odunze. I saw a lot of Packers fans getting worked up at Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze doing this. Like, last year, if Jordan Love was at a club and people were chanting the Bears still suck at him, like, sure, the team has the success, but that Packers team wasn't the same one as the years previous. The 10, at that point, 8 straight victories. I don't really know what else they're supposed to do other than embrace it, because it is awkward. Imagine being in the VIP while fans chant at you.
Yeah.
Like, what are you supposed to do? Now, we can have the last laugh, and believe you me, the first Packers-Bears meeting, if the Packers win that game, this video is going to resurface and be used against them, but that's all fair. That's part of being fans. You get excited.
I think what I keep trying to remind myself is it's good to be a part of a rivalry. Like, that's a good thing. Teams that are El Stinko, and you could argue that the Bears have been El Stinko, but teams that are El Stinko, nobody cares about the rivalries, right? It's just another game on the schedule. The fact that the Bears and Packers have this thing, and I've said this before when we talk about the Brewers and the Cubs, I've said this before when we've talked about the Bulls and the Bucks, like, I like rivalry games. I like the intensity being ratcheted up. I like people buying in and caring more about the outcome. I like that it feels like either an indictment or an endorsement of your respective teams. You're never going to get me out on rivalry games. Chewy, if you have a choice of what games you're going to go to for the Green Bay Packers, more than likely you want to see the Bears-Packers game. You want to see the Lions-Packers games, right? Maybe a Niners game, because that's a bit of a rivalry there as well because of the way that those games have gone. But those games always carry more clout. They carry more significance. They feel like they have more juice.
They do, but in all my years, it never felt like a rivalry. Never. Whenever we played the Bears. Now, Minnesota, that's a different, because we didn't like their players. And they didn't like us. So that felt more like a rivalry. But visceral. I've never felt it with the Bears, ever. I mean, when's the last time it was a rivalry? Even when we beat them in the NFC Championship game, there's just something about the Bears like, nah, we're going to, you know, we'll lose one out of every four, but we're going to win most games. I would like it to see, yeah, for the fans, have them be competitive. But players, we never felt it. Never, never. Dallas was more of a rival to us because they beat us all the time.
Doesn't that explain why Green Bay is a rival to the Bears?
Yeah. I just don't, I don't know. It's hard for me to buy it. Even though they got the, you know, they had the first pick in the Dunes, that's fine. They've had a lot of talent there before and they've done nothing with it.
So you think it's more organizational than anything else?
I do. I mean, I don't know why people I'm not threatened this year. When I saw the Bears, the Vegas line for them win losses was 8.5. I'm like, why?
But they have flipped the front office. You know, yeah. They got rid of Pace. I mean, who is the guy there? I can't, like, Poles. Ryan Poles.
Yeah.
Yeah. The big problem is it's still the McCaskies.
Yes.
That are weighing big in on that. And remember, he had the press conference with my mom's really disappointed in our performance when they hired Ryan Poles. There's certainly more to pay attention to with the Chicago Bears. The number one overall pick, the guy who, dating back, is the one everyone's been talking about, but I'm not going to really let that rivalry even be a factor, like worrying about them until they prove it.
But the excitement was the same with Trubisky and with Field. Here we go. Here we go.
You can find videos of the celebrations when Justin Fields got drafted.
Yeah.
Things are changing in Chicago. Finally.
I will say this, though, guys. Like, what was the excitement about Mitch Trubisky based on? The 14 games he had played? The 14 games he had started, rather? At UNC. Wow. I mean, at least Caleb Williams has put a lot more on paper, on film, to be excited about.
Yeah. But they always find a way to screw it up.
You know? I think that's what you're banking on here. It sounds like that's what you're banking on.
Yeah.
Did it bother you that fans were chanting Green Bay sucks and that Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze were pumping their fists along with the chants this weekend?
No, it didn't bother me at all.
It's a blip, right?
That's what Aaron said. We own you, you know?
Although Aaron did say, I own you.
Shocking.
Just want to make sure that we're clear
on
the pronoun that was used in that situation. Dick in downtown weighing in saying, Josh is so right. I don't worry about the little brother down 94 in the division. The Bears aren't a rival. Let their fans get excited and let the Packers stay under the radar as long as possible. 800-990-3776. Does it bother you that Bears fans were chanting Green Bay sucks this weekend and that Caleb Williams, their quarterback, and Roma Dunze, their top wide receiver, pick, were pumping their fists along with the chants? Let us know. For your next night out, make Aria, the acclaimed restaurant inside St. Kate the Arts Hotel, your dinner destination. It's nestled on the second floor of St. Kate. It's an artful dining experience that captivates with culinary creativity and leans into the realm of playful and inventive flavors. Come and experience the magic of Aria, where every bite is a work of culinary artistry. Learn more and make reservations at their website. It's Aria, A-R-I-A, at stkate.com. That's Aria at stkate.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy's.
But remember he said his birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little freaky.
Yeah. Like he's, and everyone's like, oh, look at our horny little boy. We're so good for him. Like everybody's so supportive of Giannis, they just kind of look past it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
There you go again. Head low, putting on a show again. It's the holidays. How come it always ends this way?
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Monday morning. Breaking news out of the NFL. The Vikings have signed wide receiver Justin Jefferson to a four-year, $140 million contract extension. It includes $110 million in guarantees. He is just 24 years old. He is now the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. And I will ask the loyal listeners the question that I asked Joshy and Chewy here this morning. Who's throwing him the ball?
I thought he wasn't coming back if Cousins wasn't going to be re-signed.
Yeah, they
see how money kind of makes you forget about everything.
Yeah. Makes the world go round.
All is well.
Everything. I mean, you knew they were going to sign him to a monster deal.
That's a monster deal.
But also, who is throwing him the football?
J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
They made the investment, so he's going to have to. How good is it going to be? We don't know. But
it kind of scares me because, you know, all five, six, seven receivers in Green Bay are like,
from a money standpoint?
From a money
standpoint. They'd have to put up pretty big numbers, right? I mean, we all know that Justin Jefferson is one of the top receivers in the league. $35 million a year if you're looking to break it down. But it also means that the Bengals now know what they're going to have to pay Ja'Marr Chase, right? That's the thing.
That's a big jump, though, isn't it? Wasn't the highest paid like 29, like A.J. Brown or something with Philly?
Oh, you're saying in wide receivers?
I'll look at the.
Yeah, I mean, he just signed a big one, didn't he? And someone else did, too? I'll look it up.
I want to pivot here to a conversation that we have seen happening a lot over the last few days, and that is what happened in the WNBA this weekend. Look, Caitlin Clark is the darling of the WNBA. That statement doesn't take anything away. It is not an indictment on anyone else who has been in the WNBA, who is in the WNBA this year, but the league has taken a giant leap. Like, the difference between the attention on the WNBA last year to this year, Chew, is a galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has to do with Caitlin Clark. Whether you like it or not, she has brought more eyeballs to the sport. So with those eyeballs are going to come criticism. And this weekend, there was a incident between her and another player, Kennedy Carter, who plays for the Chicago Sky. That's who the two teams that were playing this week, and the Chicago Sky and the Indiana Fever, who Caitlin Clark plays for. Now, we can't show you the clip of the foul here on the radio. That's just not how this medium works. But you've probably seen it on social media. Kennedy Carter yells, "Yo, snitch," but she didn't say snitch, to Caitlin Clark, goes over and shoulder checks her. Caitlin Clark did not have the ball. In fact, I believe it was an inbounds play. Caitlin Clark hits the ground. I want to be very clear on this. I have no issue on physicality in sports. I have no issue in the WNBA's physicality. I think they play at a very high level. I think they should be championed and applauded for the way they play this sport. I also understand that when a new player comes in with all the pomp and circumstance that Caitlin Clark has come in with, there will be a target on her back. Chewy, you played at a high level. You can't tell me there weren't initiations for you and other players that came into the league. You mentioned it earlier in the show. You got initiated by other teams who just wanted to kind of pop you a little bit, show you, welcome to the big league, son, right?
Yeah. Then you even get it on your own team. I mean, in the 80s, I got there in 92, they treated rookies horribly, but Holmgren would not put up for it. Holmgren had to get his arms around this and said, look, we don't haze here. The only thing are the young guys. If there's an older guy in front of you in the tape line, he gets to jump you. That's it. There's no singing. There's no you. We see it on Hard Knocks all the time. There was none of that stuff. I actually, because I saw it for the first time, the shoulder check this morning, I actually thought it was going to be worse. I didn't think it was that bad. But this girl has a history of antics.
So she's not an enforcer per se,
no.
But she is a bit of a hothead, right? And look, you're going to sit here and go, well, who are you to say that she's a hothead? Well, her resume, guys.
Yeah, she got bad resume.
She was suspended indefinitely in 2021 for conduct detrimental to the team. She wanted to fight another player on her team. She was with the Dream at the time, who asked her to improve her attitude during the game. Carter did not play for the Dream after the suspension. She was traded to the Sparks. With the Sparks, she was waived. The Los Angeles Times reported Carter had been benched for poor conduct during the season. And Fred Williams, who was the interim head coach, did not play Carter for 4 games due to a coach's decision. And then she did not play in the league in 2023. All of those are realities of Carter's resume. So she's a bit of an agitator. She's a bit of a hothead. You cannot ignore that detail when you're talking about her. Maybe a bit of a misfit. What I don't like is the racial tone that this conversation has taken on, that it is the black and brown women who have built the WNBA and Caitlin Clark, who happens to be white. I don't love any of that. I also don't love that Carter refused to answer any questions about the incident in the post-game press conference, but then chose to pop off later on Twitter, basically criticizing Caitlin Clark, saying that she hadn't done anything in the league. All she has done is make 3-pointers. You can't have it both ways.
No. And what I immediately go to is Tiger Woods. When Tiger Woods came into the PGA, golfers didn't like him, which is completely stupid because Tiger brought so much attention to golf, which increased the money. This is what Caitlin Clark's doing. Yes. You know, she's the darling of the WNBA right now, but people are watching. People are going into games. And in turn, that translates into more money into these girls' pockets. And I don't have a problem with a rookie. If it's because she's a rookie, that's fine, right? But don't do it because the color of her skin or whatever. She is making the WNBA grow, which they have to realize that that's going to put more money into their pockets. So embrace it.
I also don't know if you can accurately just glob on to this jealousy thing. That's the other narrative that I saw this weekend, Joshy, was that, oh, they're just jealous of Caitlin. They're just like, basketball's a physical sport. The chick got fouled, or she got fined. She didn't get fined. It was not called a foul in the moment. It was upgraded to a foul, a flagrant one, after they reviewed the play. I believe that the Chicago Sky were fined for not making themselves available to the media afterward, the team, and Angel Reese, who again is another player for the Chicago Sky. So the league did step in afterward and try to regulate from a foul standpoint. But don't take away the physicality of the game.
No. And intimidation is a part of it.
Absolutely.
I mean, when I played, I tried to intimidate. If I was in my 7th year, of course you're trying to intimidate a younger guy. I'm not a trash talker, but I'll go to the whistle when I didn't need sometimes to introduce them to the league.
Of course.
That happens all the time.
I guess, Joshy, what I am hesitant and what I don't want to see happen is them thinking that we need to put this protective bubble around women's sports somehow, right? And that we can't handle the level of physicality that you see at the men's level.
Yeah, that was one of my big takeaways? Because we see this stuff happen across all of sports. We see Bryce Harper get fought by his own teammate. We see young guys, Matt Rempe from the New York Rangers, every time he touched the ice, one of the other guys was trying to fight him. Because when these new guys come in, it's competitors being competitors. They're saying, I'm going to send a message. You're not going to run this league. The whole, like, that's our meal ticket thing kind of falls on deaf ears to me, because this is sports. And if we're going to treat sports as sports, women's, men's, no matter what, these things happen. The surprising thing to me is there's no one ever really shown backing up Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, that was my next question.
In youth hockey, if someone touches your goalie, you go after that person. You're taught that at a very young age. And it seems maybe they're just not used to this in the sport, but it seems like there's no one being the enforcer for her. She's getting enforced on, and no one else is there to defend her, which seems strange to me. And it's just competitors. They're going out there. They're trying to take the best. They're getting ahead of the best player. You do it all the time.
Like, we used to have to protect our linemen in Minnesota from John Randall, because John Randall would never talk to veteran. He would try and get into young guys' heads, like Timberman. Asking if he can date his sister on the field, you know? So me and Frank would have to be, John, you better shut up, okay? Because you ain't going to like what's happening. And then the chippiness thing comes onto me and Frank, because it was Timberman, who was a rookie, you know, let him just sit in there. But you have to have their back. And like you said, I didn't see that Caitlin Clark.
We've seen aggressive stuff happen with Caitlin Clark through her very young career. They're playing a lot of games. There's been a few times where she ends up on the ground, and she's picking herself up, which is like, you see that in basketball all the time.
And it's funny because that's the reaction that my 15-year-old son had when we were talking about it with him this weekend, was where were her teammates? Why wasn't anybody? And I asked him, well, what would you do in that situation? He said, look, if somebody goes after one of my teammates, I'm getting in their face. He said, there are guys on my team that I might not even particularly like, but they're my teammates.
Sure.
And in that situation, it is us versus them. So it is a little surprising, but I wonder if that is one of the things getting lost in the whole, she doesn't need to be protected, right? Like, Caitlin Clark doesn't need to be protected. It feels like there's a lot of people coming to Caitlin Clark's defense all of a sudden, a lot of people who want to go out there and fight her battles for her. And yet we believe in the sports space, her teammates should be coming to her defense, right? So just feel like there's a little bit of a contradictoriness of, we don't need the world to come to Caitlin Clark's defense, but she does need her teammates to show that they are a unit, that they are all on the same side, they are all pulling the rope in the same direction, and that they don't think that what Caitlin Clark is experiencing is fair.
Yeah, I mean, Draymond Green has had a role largely to be this. The Bucks have employed guys like PJ Tucker. There's Giannis defenders out there. It happens in all the sports. And do the Indiana need to do that, or does someone just need to step up?
Yeah, but that could come from the coach, too. It might be a coach that's like, well, she's a rookie, so she needs to pay her lumps instead of, hey, help her out.
That was not the attitude that she gave yesterday in the press conference, or the day before in the press conference. The attitude was, she likes how Caitlin has handled the adversity. She likes that she doesn't kind of get in these people's faces. She kind of just takes it. I don't know how you feel about that, but that was the take that the coach had afterwards, was that she is still handling it with class and with dignity, even though she is dealing with things she shouldn't have to be dealing with.
I mean, look at every time a quarterback gets hit and the offensive line determines it turns into a maul fest with the offensive line. Now, it doesn't need to go to that extent, but
I mean, look at Brett and Warren Sapp.
Yes.
They wanted to fight all the time. Like, Brett, what are you doing? Let us do the fighting, please. And you just throw the football so we can go to the Super Bowl.
So that's your big takeaway from it, is that her teammates need to be stepping up and setting the tone for some of these enforcers, agitators, misfits who may want to get in Caitlin Clark's face. Because for whatever reason, whether they want to chalk it up to just competitiveness, or whether they're chalking it up to, we don't like her because she's the darling of the league. She's gotten things that we've been fighting for years. It's unfair. There's jealousy, whatever. Which, again, I don't like any of those things. But I also recognize that those are human reactions to situations, that people feel that way. Sometimes people don't regulate their emotions as well as they should. Sometimes people let situations get the best of them. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying it's a reality. And actually, like how Caitlin Clark has been dealing with it, Sam weighing in saying, what the F are you talking about? You think calling her a B and giving her a shoulder block? That's not physicality. It's a cheap shot. That's not being a competitor. This is a horrible take. Wow. What take exactly is horrible, Sam? That physicality exists in sports? that there are going to be cheap shots in sports, that the league did change it to a flagrant one? What is the horrible take here?
Yeah, that warranted a scrum. That action. That should have been a scrum, right?
From the team.
Should have been, right? And I get the intimidation part of it, but you let that stuff happen and happen and happen, it's counterproductive.
I also just don't like the fact that there's the double standard here being applied. Like, Caitlin Clark is some golden child, which she's as good as anyone we've seen, but there's also like that everyone needs to stand up and defend her who isn't on the court, which is, sports are sports.
Yeah.
Whether it's women or men competing, it's the same stuff going on out there. She has to figure it out. Her teammates have to figure it out. I don't think this is more egregious than anything I've seen at any other level of sport. It's just competitors.
And I also think there is a fairness, since that's apparently what we're debating here, with players who have been in the league for a very long time saying, what have you done? What have you done in this league? You guys just won your first home game. I'm not just going to bend the knee to Caitlin Clark because she was amazing in college, set all of these records, and now is in this league. It's a different league. Earn your stripes.
Which
you're
going
to have to play through the toughness. You're going to have to play through the physicality. And I think that anybody who is a competitor and has been in the sports space gets that and is okay with that. I want to earn your respect. I want to compete well on the court. I want to compete hard on the court. I don't need every warrior out there coming to my defense. I'm going to battle.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I think Caitlin Clark probably is as well. She's taken it. It's almost like she recognizes that there is an initiation, that there is part of it. I'm not excusing the behavior. What I'm saying is I think it's a part of sports. And I think trying to sit here and say that the physicality of the women is somehow supposed to be different than the physicality of the men, I think that's unfair. 800-990-3776. If you have a reaction to what happened this weekend with Kennedy Carter and Caitlin Clark, the WNBA on Sunday upgraded the Sky Guard Carter's foul against the Fever rookie Caitlin Clark to a flagrant one. There were also some fines levied towards the Chicago Sky, and you're going to see this conversation continue, I'm sure, all day long in sports media. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it, but it's it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
Yeah, like, guys, good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Have you tried Celsius Energy Drink yet? If you haven't, let me tell you all about it. It is the clean energy drink that you need, that I need to stay active and energized all day long. My favorite flavor is, of course, the peach vibe, but I have been stepping out on the peach vibe, a little grapefruit action every now and again. It's the essential energy drink that I choose to stay on top of it all. You can find it at Pick 'em Save or online at Amazon. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. It's a good thing it's the end of the show because I obviously can't speak anymore as I'm stumbling over my words there. Chewy, you're going to have to take it home.
Don't we have any polls or no? Guess not. If you're interested, listen to Wilde and Touch. How was that? That's not my wheelhouse. What are you laughing
beautiful.
At?
Beautiful.
Should we do a day? Maybe?
No, we shouldn't do a day where I drive the bus. Yeah. I don't want to drive the bus. I like being a passenger.
How about just like
no
once one segment for a week?
All right, tomorrow.
Wilde and Touch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. See ya.